Blog Talk Radio.
Ho! Brothers and sisters, I want to welcome you back to life. Back to the one that can make your next chapter your best chapter. Hallelujah.
How can it be that you love the most unlovable part of me? Of me. How could you see? Your life was the only gift I'll ever need. To be free. It's amazing. With you, I win even if I do. Everything's working for my good for all.
The Bible says this is the day that the Lord has made. Come on, let us rejoice and be glad in him. God is great and he is greatly to be praised. Who is my praise? He is our praise, and his praise shall continuously to be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Welcome, welcome, welcome in my Carolina Kitchen voice. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of The Huddle, a place of healing. I am your host, Eric Nelson, the pastor of The Huddle, a place of healing ministries. You can find us on Facebook, and you can also find us on YouTube. Today we are kicking off our first annual couples retreat. I know I hear you clapping, hear the excitement in the atmosphere. I hear it. I thank and praise God for Yvonne Stewart, who thought it not robbery to catch the vision, and she helped us push this event and helped us to birth this event. And tonight we're gonna give birth to this event tonight, our first annual couples retreat. It's virtual, so it's free. And it's virtual. You mean you can stay in your house. You can sit in your bed and on your sofa. You can sit on the toilet or whatever you do. And you can watch and, I mean, listen. And I'm sorry, you can watch as well because it's on YouTube. Amen. Yes, so tonight we kick off tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. We're going to have our meet and greet tonight. Following our meet and greet tomorrow at 12 noon, we're going to have our chat and chew with Prophet George Carter and his wife, Rena, Prophetess Rena Carter. They will be sharing with us tomorrow during our chat and chew. Also, tomorrow night at 8 p.m., get your baby mother, your wife, your husband, your boo thing, and come on and say, come on, we're going to play this not-so-newlywed game led by the Stewarts. And we're going to close out on this Sunday at 2 p.m. with Prophetess Kimberly Moses. So we're going to have an awesome time this week. There are going to be door prizes, and so we want you guys to jump in and jump on and come along with us on this journey. Yes, we're trying to help couples and help marriages, and especially with those people that are dealing with illnesses, and you have the wife that's disabled and the husband is healthy, and or you have the husband that's disabled and the wife is healthy. Or you may have couples that, you may have both couples, the wife and the husband are disabled. And or maybe you feel like you're disabled and you feel as though that nobody wants you and you can't find love. But tonight, we want to encourage you tonight. If you desire to be married, jump on and join us. If you in a relationship and you're trying to figure this thing out, if you should you marry, or you're trying to understand your mate or whatever you're trying to do, man, tune in tonight and join us tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Let's have some fun. Today, I normally come on every Wednesday at noon, but I wanted to come on today as a kickoff. Because I wanted to kind of kick off tonight to get you guys excited, to get you guys pumped up, and to give you some hope, to let you know that God has not forgotten you. So I put this, the Lord has allowed me to write a book, and the title of my book is called A Place of Healing. And one of the chapters in my book is In Sickness and in Health. in sickness and in health. So today I wanted to kind of talk about a little bit about in sickness and in health. Is that okay with you guys? I thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. There are many challenges that marriages and devoted partnerships can face over the years. And while you or your partner being diagnosed with multiple sclerosis or MS may not be the most difficult, the disease will likely have some impact on your relationship. And 90% of the time when a person is dealing with an illness and they're in a relationship, it does impact your relationship. It does impact your relationship. But you have to learn to figure. One of the biggest things that helps me and my wife and I, is communication. Is to be able to communicate with each other so that we both can be able to understand each other's needs and to be able to understand each other when both of us or one of us may be feeling, not feeling our best. So communication is so vital. A lot of times when people are dealing with illnesses, they don't always necessarily communicate well. And some people don't communicate well because they're not feeling well. And because they don't feel well, they're not communicating well, then your partner or your friend, your mate, your husband, your wife, your spouse, they may not always understand what you are really facing or what you're really going through. And sometimes we try to get our mates and our spouses to understand what we're facing and what we're dealing with, but we have to understand that they're not us. What you may be experiencing and what you may be feeling, you're trying to get them to understand, and they may not have an understanding because they're not going through or experiencing some of the symptoms or some of the things that that person is going through. And so because they don't understand what you're going through, so when you talk about I have brain fog or I have MS fatigue and I got a little fatigue going on, and they may not always understand what that means. They may not understand what MS fatigue means. One of the things that I always suggest is because I hear people always talking about, well, I read up on MS, so I have an understanding. No, everybody that's dealing with different sicknesses and different diseases go through different things. That's just like multiple sclerosis. Multiple sclerosis has many, many different types of symptoms. So everyone that is diagnosed with multiple sclerosis does not have the same symptoms or experience the same thing. For example, you may have somebody that may be dealing with drop foot. Then you may have somebody that may be dealing with fatigued legs. Well, even though it's multiple sclerosis, it's two different things. And so you may not understand that. So I may say I'm feeling, I'm diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and you dive onto the internet, and you're looking, trying to see what is wrong with me or what's going on, or to see how you can understand me, but you will never really truly understand until we begin to open up and to communicate, and I tell you some of the symptoms that's going on with me, and now you can go to the internet. Now you can do some research to find out and to learn the different symptoms. For an example, if I'm dealing with drop foot, maybe if I can share that I'm dealing with drop foot with you, maybe now you can go to the internet. Maybe now you can research to find out what drop foot and MS, what it does, how it works, or how it happens, or whatever. Now you have an understanding of what I am going through. And so we hear people talk about MS awareness. I'm trying to make people aware. and I'm trying to make people aware of the disease, but you're not making them aware, or making the folks that are around you, your loved ones, your friends, making them aware of your symptoms, so that they would be able to have an understanding of what those symptoms that you're facing on a daily basis. And not only just that, you want to be able to have friends and family members that are not just learning about your symptoms and they going back researching, and then they come back telling you, you should do this, you should do that, you should take this, don't do that, you should know. What you need is somebody who will stand in agreement with you, believing God for your healing. Well, Nancy, I understand that now you are experiencing drop foot. Now I have an understanding, Nancy, of what drop foot is, because I did some research on what drop foot is. There are some things, Nancy, that maybe we can buy that may can help you, Nancy, with your drop foot. But in the meantime, until that we are able to purchase those items, let's come into an agreement that God is going to heal you, Nancy, of that drop foot. And that's how you can be a great caregiver, someone that's walking beside me, helping me, not just telling me what to do or telling me I should be doing, but just walking beside me, helping me, encouraging me, motivating me, speaking the word into my life and over my life, helping me to continue to move on in my walk with God. Because a person that's dealing with any type of sickness and any type of disease, it really has an effect on that person mentally. It really has an effect on that person mentally. I know we've been talking about learning how to take our thoughts captive. So when your loved one or that person is dealing with those type of issues, that's just like someone who's dealing with a mental issue. Someone who's dealing with mental issues. I believe that this month of May is National Mental Health Awareness Month or something like that. I believe that's what it is. And so you have so many people that are dealing with mental health issues and not understanding how it works, how the enemy attacks your loved one's minds and their thoughts. And so, again, it brings us back to what we were talking about the other day when we were talking about learning how to take those thoughts captive. And so when you're dealing with someone who's in a relationship or a couple, and you have to understand, why are they so snappy? Well, maybe because they don't feel well. Maybe because the enemy is bombarding their thoughts with all types of things that's making them feel bad, making them feel like, you know, you can move on with your life and I can, and I'm stuck in the house when you can go and you can. I'm years ago, I met someone, I can't remember who the person was, but I remember the conversation, and they were married, and they had came to me and they were talking to me about what they were facing. And because they were married, their husband was not diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, they told their husband that, won't you go out and get with somebody, because I know that I would never get better. And, you know, and so that person, instead of just being there waiting for their mate and helping them, you know, and walking beside them and believing God for healing for them, they decided to step out of their marriage because they felt as though that they wasn't getting fulfilled sexually. And so you have so many people that are dealing, you know, with this type of, you know, problem or issue in their marriage. People that are, you know, that are married, that have been diagnosed with some type of sickness or disease. You know, I myself, you know, at some point, I was married before and divorced. Divorced while diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And if you do the research, the percentage, I don't have the numbers on me offhand, but the percentage is very high. That there are people that have been diagnosed with MS. They started out married. They were diagnosed with MS, and their spouses couldn't take it, and so their spouses left. I knew a woman of God that a few years ago, she and I, we had a conversation, and she was telling me that she was married. They had kids. They lived in a nice big old house, and their husband came to them and said, If I have known you were going to have MS, I would have never married you. I mean, come on now. What kind of craziness is that? But as crazy as it sounds, there are people every single day that have been diagnosed with MS or any type of disease, and they deal with this issue every single day. And it's sad, it's, you know, hurtful, and, you know, and I feel for them, and I definitely understand, you know, what it feels like to be diagnosed with a condition that the doctor says that there's no cure for it, and then you deal with, you already feel lonely because of the disease. You can't really go out. You have gait issues. You have mobility issues. You have drop foot issues. You have issues of cognitive thinking. You know, you have all these different things, numbness and tingling in your hand, your weakness in your arms, and you can't lift up certain things anymore. You drop stuff on the ground that you picked up. You thought you had it in your hand, but because your hand has no feeling in it, you dropped it on the ground. I understand it all. Bladder issues, it all. Vision problems, speech impediments. You know, these are some of the symptoms that MS people or people that are diagnosed with MS experience on a daily basis. And so, again, to dive into my story, let me pull my story up. In my book, the scripture reading that I used was 3 John chapter 2, where it says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper." And then I have, in August of 2013, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Multiple sclerosis, MS, is an autoimmune disease that affects the brain and spinal cord, or the central nervous system. MS is caused by damage to the myelin sheath. This sheath is the protective covering that surrounds the nerve cells. When this nerve covering is damaged, nerve signals slow or stop. The nerve damage is caused by inflammation. Inflammation occurs when the body's own immune cells attack the nervous system. It's almost like you're in a war in your own body. Your body is attacking itself. Your body just turned on you. This can occur along any area of the brain, optic nerve, and spinal cord. I was introduced to an MS support group at the VA hospital in Washington, D.C. by my mentor, big brother, and great friend, Prophet George Carter. During this time, I was going through a divorce, and I realized that I had to keep going. I had been single for about 5 years while diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And then I met a young lady who had her own radio show called I Am Healed Blog Talk Radio, who later had me on her show. She also was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She was beautiful and also a worship leader on a praise and worship team for a ministry in North Brunswick, New Jersey. After the interview, she joined the huddle and led us in praise and worship every Sunday. She not only introduced me to Blog Talk Radio, but we started talking on the phone more and more every day, 7 days a week. From time to time, we FaceTime and we prayed together, watched TV shows together, and at the same time not realizing what God was doing. I believe that same year, in October, we had something called The Gathering. The Gathering is an event when everyone from the huddle meets for a three-day MS event. That year, we were meeting in Columbia, Maryland, at the Sheraton Hotel that we stayed in, that we had our event. And I was excited because I finally got to see and to meet her in person. Because, see, when we meet, we used to meet, well, we still meet, you know, through social media, but we used to meet on conference call. And then we moved to Blog Talk Radio. And we lived in two separate states. I lived in Maryland. She lived in New Jersey. But we both were diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Let me show you how God works. We just built a relationship from the inside out. We didn't go out and just went out and just, you know, just went out on dates or had sex or did all this crazy stuff. We talked and we built a friendship first. We talked and built a relationship. And then because we just kept talking and kept pouring it into each other, it established it allowed us to be able to establish a friendship that turned into a relationship that turned into us just one day, it just fell out of the day. Well, we just fell in love. It just happened. And that, for the first time in my life, I finally found the person who I've been looking for all of my life. And it really taught me how to be patient. It really taught me how to get to know a person. It really taught me how not to look at the outward appearance. It taught me how to look at her heart and to get to know her as a person and not even look at that she was diagnosed with MS or and diagnosed with lupus. But it allowed me to look at her as a person. And sometimes you have people that are diagnosed with MS and they have a great heart and they are beautiful on the inside and the outside. But because they are dating or trying to find love all in the wrong places, they're looking in clubs, they're looking in MS support group meetings, and they're looking on Facebook, and they're trying to find love. And so because they haven't had relations in such a very long time, and sometimes you can get into your flesh. And so we learn how to be patient. And we just continue to just build. And the Bible says, unless the Lord builds a house. And so we allow God to build. All we did was establish the foundation by getting to know each other. We called each other every single day. We prayed, you know, when she was on her way to work. We prayed every night before we got off the phone. We talked about the Bible. We talked about healing. We talked about our futures. We talked about the huddle. We talked about I Am Healed Blog Talk Radio. We talked about our dreams and our desires. And we didn't just get on and talk about just MS. And we didn't get on and talk about, how things used to be. No, we talked about our futures. And because we took those times to build, It takes time to build. And we just continue to build. And we build. And we build. And just one day out of the blue in a conversation, you know, we said we can't wait to see each other. And so I met her at the gathering. And that day, that first day when I met, I saw her walk in the door. I felt like Adam, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Wow. I thought that she was beautiful. That was the first time I actually really looked at her, because we normally just talked on the phone. And so we built that relationship on the phone. So it was so easy when I met her for the first time, because it felt as though that I've known her all of my life, because we already have established a friendship and a relationship. And so it was so easy for me when I met her to let her know that I am ready to take this to the next step. And at that gathering that year, we made it official that we really wanted to pursue a relationship. Well, after that gathering, we continued to pour into each other, to continue to pray with each other, to continue to study or read the Bible together, and to serve in ministry together, and to do those type of things together. I began to take trips up to North Brunswick, and I began to visit and to make visits. And I stayed the weekend, and she would come at the hotel and meet me at the hotel, and we would either go out to have dinner, or we would go out, you know, to her family's houses and things like, you know, we would do things, you know what I'm saying? We would, you know, watch movies and things like that. And we just continued to build until one day I said, I just can't, I can't let this get away from me. I can't let her get away. I really wanted to put a ring on it. And so I went out and I just purchased a ring. And then one day I told her that I was coming up. And I remember, I was staying at I can't remember the hotel. And so she said, well, can I use the restroom? She went to the restroom and came out. And I had the ring behind my back. And because of MS, I couldn't get down on my knee. So I was sitting on the bed, and I asked her for her hand in marriage. And she said, yes. And we've been married ever since. But, you know, there is some hope. There is hope for you. We both were diagnosed with MS. It's not the end of the world. And I'm just sharing all this to say, in sickness and in health, we never look at MS as an issue. We always looked at us having a desire to be together and having a desire to serve God together and have a desire to worship together and to pray together and just to be together. And the more and more and the more and more we begin to speak, you know, or to communicate on those levels, it allow us to continue to fall deeply in love with one another. So my brothers and sisters, I'm just saying this all to say that you too can find love. You too can find love. I knew immediately that I wanted to pursue her, and I didn't care that she was diagnosed with MS or that she lived 3 hours away. It was like love at first sight. So as the gathering had ended and I had a few days to enjoy her in person, I knew that she had to go back home to Jersey, and I began to figure out how I was going to see her again. So again, like I said, in November through December, we continued to serve together in ministry, and we went back to calling and FaceTiming. I believe because we built a relationship on the phone, and saw her in person. And because I missed her, I planned to take trips to New Jersey often to see her. Didn't care how much it cost. Didn't care how I was. I wanted to be there with her. And I can honestly say that I wanted to be there so bad that I took Uber. I took an Uber from Maryland all the way to New Jersey. An Uber. I didn't drive. I didn't, you know, take the bus or the train. I took an Uber. That's how much I wanted to be with her. Yeah, that's how much I wanted to see her. That I took an Uber. That cost over $100 and something, close to $200 per trip. That's going and coming. But I figured that being in the Uber was going to get me there safer, and it kind of helped me in my travels because the driver helped me with my bags and things of that nature. So before I jump off, I want to encourage you, just because you're diagnosed doesn't mean that that's the end of your story. Just because you feel as though, you know, you were diagnosed with MS or cancer and your doctor gave you a gloom situation, in my Jesse Jackson's voice, keep hope alive. I believe it will happen for you. I believe that it will happen for you, and I'm also believing for divine healing for you. I want to pray for you. If you're listening and this is you, and this is something that you have been dealing with, something that you are going through right now, wherever you are, I want you to lift your hands. Lift your hands towards heaven. Lift your hands, slip up those hands for a minute, and just begin to worship. Give God a praise. God, I praise you. I praise you because you're good. I praise you because you're my God. I praise you because there's none like you. None like you in the earth. None like you in the heavens. None like you beneath the earth. Oh Lord, I worship you. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I worship you in the beauty of holiness. I worship you because you are God. And besides you, there is no other. So God, we say, arise. And let your enemies be scattered. Oh Lord, I pray, oh Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that you first will just forgive me. Forgive me in my thinking. Forgive me for every thought that I had, that I thought that I would never be in a relationship, that I would never get married. I pray that you would forgive me. Forgive me for walking in fear and walking in doubt. Forgive me for my unbelief. Forgive me, Lord, for not being in my word and studying my word and meditating on my word. I thank you. I thank you, oh Lord, that you love me so much that you gave me your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I thank you for your Son Jesus, who is the lily of the valley, who is the bright and morning star. I thank you for your Son Jesus. I thank you that you sent your word, and your word healed me, and your word heals my relationships, And your word heals my pain. It heals my sorrows. I thank you for your word that brings strength. I thank you for your word that delivers, your word that sets me free. I thank you. I thank you now, God. I thank you for my new mate that's coming. Father, I believe, oh God, I believe that I received a new husband, a wife. I believe, oh God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you now. I thank you for blessing me. I thank you for blessing my husband. I thank you for blessing my wife. I thank you now, Lord God. So, Father, I pray. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh Lord, just asking you. I pray right now, God. Lord, your word declares, can two walk together except they be agreed? So, Father, I come into an agreement. I come into an agreement with your word that my mate is coming. I believe that he or she is coming. I thank you now. Just like Adam says, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, I believe. I am a believer. I am a believing believer, and I believe what your word says, and I'm going to stand on your word, and I thank you. I stand on your word, and thank you. I stand on your word, and as I stand on your word, I am going to lift you up, because your word declares that if I be lifted up from the earth, that I will draw all men unto me. So, Father, I pray that as I stand on your word, that I'm going to lift you up. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to draw all men unto me. I thank you now. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I pray over the couples retreat. I pray that every couple, oh God, every couple that joins us, every couple that tunes in, I pray that they will leave blessed. I pray that those that may be struggling, oh God, I pray that those that may be struggling, I pray that they will leave the couples retreat. I pray that they will leave the couples retreat blessed. I pray for marriages that were broken. I pray that you repair what the palmer worm and the canker worm tried to destroy. Lord, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your word and healed broken relationships in the name of Jesus. I thank you. The relationships that were heading for destruction, I come against destruction in the name of Jesus. And Father, I speak your word over every relationship. I speak your word over every couple tonight. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus. I pray, oh Lord, that you break every chain, oh God, every chain of pornography, every chain, oh God, of divorcement, every chain, oh God, of fear, every chain of doubt. I pray that you break it, God, break them. Break it right now, God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you right now. I pray right now, God, that you would have your way tonight, Lord. I pray that you cover the leaders, oh God. Cover Yvonne Stewart and her husband and family, oh God. Cover them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, God, we thank you right now. I pray that you cover my family, cover my wife, cover my kids. Cover them in the name of Jesus. Cover Darian and Faith, oh God. In the name of Jesus, cover Kiera. In the name of Jesus, Eric and Samaya, cover them in the name of Jesus. Be knowledge, cover him in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you right now. We pray right now. Cover our grandkids in the name of Jesus. Keep them safe from hurt, harm, and danger. Seen and unseen dangers, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, I thank you right now for the huddle. I pray right now over every huddle member. I pray right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would bless them, oh God. Bless them, God. Bless marriages in the huddle, in the name of Jesus. Oh God, there are those that are single, that are members, oh Lord, and that desire to be in a relationship. God, I pray I pray that you would send them, bless them with the mate, God. Bless them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you right now, Father. We thank you. Father, we love you. We honor you. Give you praise. Father, it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are worthy. You are worthy to be praised. We thank you right now, God. We thank you right now, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're worthy. You're worthy, God. You're worthy. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy. Lord, we trust you. We trust you, Lord. We trust you. We trust you, Father. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We trust you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I pray that this has encouraged you. Encouraged you to keep going, to believe that God is going to do what he says he's going to do. The Bible says that when a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing. In other words, as that man is on his journey, following or chasing after the Lord, he finds you. And you both are heading in the same direction. But as he finds you, the word doesn't say that he who finds a girlfriend or he who finds a baby mama or he who finds a boo thing. It says he who finds a wife. So that means that, ladies, you must begin to start preparing to walk in the calling of a wife. And fellas, I know some have never been married, but the time of excuses are over. Yeah, you didn't see the perfect marriage between your parents, but you find out what the scripture says about a husband, and you begin to meditate on what a husband is. Same thing, same with you ladies. Look in the word and find out what a wife's assignment is. Begin to meditate on those. Prepare your heart to receive. And God will do it for you. If he can do it for me, he'll do it for you. So I want to thank you for tuning in this afternoon. I want you guys to join us tonight at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Meet me on YouTube. Meet us in YouTube. And we'll be live, ready to go. So you guys have a blessed day. And I'll talk to you on next Tuesday. You all be blessed.
There was a time I could do it on my own. But all that I found at the end of that road is that concept for me was all wrong. But I found the Savior who turned me around when he placed his love on me. And I will trust him now. Trust in things that will perish and ultimately